Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering, what happened? From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts. Or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
I hope he's a nice guy.
How you doing? I'm Payne.
Who?
Payne.
Payne.
Sam, right?
Yeah. Seeing you guys get out of your truck. Fucking got cameras just watching you guys. And I thought, what the fuck they doing? So I went and looked at my cameras, and then I grabbed this. And if I'd have seen a gun in your hand, I'd have raised it. If I'd have seen a gun come out, I'd have shot your ass.
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, this is Up and Vanished. I'm your host, Payne Lindsay.
I'm friends with Kimberly Loring.
My name's Cooper.
Kimberly?
Yeah.
Ashley's sister?
Yeah.
We're just doing a podcast on her disappearance, and we were just Curious if we could chat for a few minutes.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Do you mind if we just sit down and chat for a few minutes? Is that cool? Kimberly said you would be down to talk.
I usually am for her, but we could sit over here.
Sure, yeah.
This is when it starts to get really tough. Do I tell you as the listener how I feel about this person's guilt or innocence? How much do I read into his mannerisms, his overall behavior? I'm not anticipating anyone in this case dropping a full confession in one of our interviews, though that would be really nice. I gotta focus on being objective right now. But we're all human, aren't we? Things from this point forward in the podcast become something I've found exceptionally difficult to navigate. And with complete transparency, I don't know who killed Ashley. At least not yet.
Everyone wants to know what happens. Everyone's freaking out, you know?
You know, and
in this moment, right here, right now, I'm prepared to give Sam McDonald the stage. What's his side of the story? The fact that I'm even here and he's still talking to me seems like a pretty good sign. A great sign, actually. And he's agreed to go on record with me.
Everything I'm telling you is true.
I should just keep playing my cool. He's starting to seem pretty benign. But his pistol is still sitting there on the table. I'm just being over paranoid about the gun, right? But I don't have a gun with me. It's Montana. It's totally normal. Keep your eye contact. Look like you got your shit together. Relax. Let's just talk. We got to know each other for a little bit. Despite our scary first encounter there, he didn't seem threatening. He seemed sincere, even. But is he hiding something I don't know?
It's pretty scary shit going on right now. It's scary right now. I don't know who to believe, you know? I've had threats through Facebook from fake people that don't want to show who they are. Just vigilante shit. That ain't gonna go, you know, without a fight. They might get me, but I'm gonna get two. You know, they better be sneaky Indians, you know? Because I'm a sneaky Indian. It's just fucked up, man. They believe these people. They believe them. The whole reservation believes these rumors, you know?
What were they saying?
They were just like, oh, you had four guys up there, raped her and murdered her? I'm like, fuck you guys. Holy shit. Man, you guys are fucked up. You believe rumors and shit, too? I'm a religious man. You know, I don't live every day. I smoke weed. That's God-given shit. That's God-given. But I was on a five-year bender. Went through a divorce. And next thing you know, you start doing meth, you know, and enough was enough, you know. I didn't get hooked up with no big fucking dealers or anything, you know. I wasn't no big dope dealer, fuck. Like they try to make me sound to be. When I was younger, you know, and that's where everybody thinks, oh, Sam's this. When I was younger, I rode bulls. I fought men, you know. I'll still fight. I'm 60 years old. There ain't nobody fight even though anymore. You know, I had my day like any other man when I was young. Any other Blackfeet, I abused my first two wives, you know. I was mean to them. I was a mean man when I was younger. You know, I admit to that shit.
Why were you, do you think? And how did you change?
So just the way you get raised.
What do you mean?
My stepdad beat my mom. You know, it's a fucking thing. It's a curse, you know, and you gotta stop it somewhere. And my last wife, I never laid a hand on her ever, you know. And I was with her for 12 years. Yeah, it's been a long haul. Over 4 years now, I think. June 11th. I cry my heart out.
I According to Sam, the last time he saw Ashley was on the morning of June 11th, 2017. This is nearly 6 days after the party at Vernon's house. How did he meet Ashley?
Where I met Ashley? I met her on a hi, hello basis once. And then I was at this guy's Big Al's house. He's dead too. But I was there. That's how she followed me out when I left, because she knew me somehow. And she's like, Sam, where are you going? What are you doing? She's like, I don't want to be here. I'm like, you don't have to be here. I didn't know her. I said, get in. I was with her for 6 days. We had fun, you know, and we got along. We were fucking high for a few days, you know.
So he picks up Ashley from Big Al's house. They spend 6 days together at his cabin, getting high, according to him. And on the sixth day, he claims he was ready to take her home.
I wanted her to go kind of regroup, go home, work on her truck and stuff, you know, meet her family. She didn't want to go home, she said.
Why not?
I don't know. She's like, Sam, I don't want to go home. She disappeared on me a couple times.
What do you mean, huh?
Just disappear and then come back later. Saturday, I got so drunk. I passed out here. She headed out. She was gone like for 7 hours maybe. It was 5 p.m. And at 1 a.m, here she come right through here walking. And she was just like all fucked up. She wasn't on, it wasn't meth. And she come back and she was pointing in here like that and stuff. And she'd sit in my cars and.
What was she on?
I don't know what it was. She come back at one that morning and she was all fucked up. And I'm like, fuck, I better get her home, you know. I didn't want to be responsible for her being that fucked up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And about 9 that morning, she started kind of coming down and kind of being reasonable, you know. And I said, well, let's go home. I'll bring you home. You can get clothes and I'll work on your pickup. I was just trying to get her home, you know. I said, I'll work on your truck. I was with her this Sunday. I was bringing her home. And she told me, she was texting all the way up the hill, up Divide. Headed to Badger Creek was our designation. I travel Divide all the time. Every day I pray for her when I go over there. And it was a nice day like this. It was 10 in the morning, 9:30, 10, you know? And she said, pull over up here. My ride V-Dog's almost here. And that's the only time I heard V-Dog. And if I had to do that day over, I'd have kept going, you know, because I was bringing her to the Badger Creek. And she told me to pull over up on top there because she had a ride coming, V-Dog. I leaned my chair back. Last thing we talked about, she said, Sam, where's that cabin up there? And I showed her a cabin on Divide. Right at the top of the smoke cabin. And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, how do you get to it? I said, I think there's a trail that goes around the back. And I laid my chair back like that and boom. You know, I was awake. I went to sleep. And I wish I never, and nobody woke me up. I woke up myself.
So when you woke up in your car, what were you thinking? Like, what was the first thought that came to your head?
I thought it was like 2 minutes when I woke up there. I thought it was like 2 minutes, but I figured it had been 40 minutes sleeping.
So in that 40 minutes that you were asleep, where do you think she went?
She got her ride with Vito because he was almost there. She said, pull over on top. She's like, Sam, I don't want to go home yet. She's like, and then I just kept driving, and then we got almost top. She's like, Sam, pull over up here. My ride V-Dog's almost here. And I was so tired, so I pulled over. I just, you know, I didn't know who V-Dog was. Thought maybe it was a cousin or something. Anyway, and I fell asleep. I woke up. I told her to tell me before she left, and she didn't. She just left. And I woke up, and I'm like, fuck, I hope she didn't fucking walk up there.
The cabin.
Yeah. That was my first thought. Sure. I led a search with all, and there was like five different police departments, like the Homeland Security, FBI, the BIA, the Blackfeet. There was sheriffs, two sheriffs hiked up with us. There was maybe even 12. And I said, this is my fear, that she walked up there and something got her, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And so we walked all the way to the bottom of the mountain, spread out. You know, what I said, this is where I parked, and this is where I woke up, and you will figure, what's the most obvious trail, or most unobvious, you know?
Sure, yeah.
She was like, oh, this is so beautiful. You know?
So she was curious about it.
Yeah, she loved it.
It would have made sense for her to like wander up there.
Yeah, that was my fear that when I woke up. I don't mind getting it out.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know too where the fuck she's at.
Obviously, your name is in the mix because you're one of the last people to see her, right?
It's called confusion. They created, the perpetrators created this confusion. It's a tactic.
Sam seems to be a little paranoid about the whole thing. But I guess if he's telling the truth, he's definitely got the right to be.
They quit investigating because they threatened me with 6 months prison.
Who did?
The BIA feds.
What?
I don't know. Because everything they had at the beginning, I was trying to give to them, you know. Because I ain't dumb, you know.
Yeah.
I'm probably smart as you guys, you know. Investigative wise, you know, it's fucked up. Somebody's gonna try to plant shit here, and it ain't gonna happen as long as I'm.
Are you fearful of that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I am. You know, that's why I fucking guard my property. They ain't gonna try to fucking. I got cameras towards the lake, everything. You know, they ain't gonna plant nothing on me. You know, that's scary shit. I'm scared as fuck, you know? I'm scared of the cops, I'm scared of the people. You know, you guys can say that too, you know? It's fucked up. Scared to the point of greeting strangers like this. What am I doing? I'm staying home making a living. You know, I sobered up. I ain't gonna let these guys get over me. If I was still fucked up, they probably would have nailed me. They probably would have set me up somehow. Right at that point, I was like, fuck that. I gotta sober up, you know? And it's been a hard road. Went through a divorce, you know? Then I got hooked on meth. Fuck that shit. That's a gateway to fucking another dimension.
What's it like?
You know, you could see what it's like if you don't eat for a week. Don't eat for a week, see what you see. You don't need drugs. When you fast, they go up to you don't eat, you don't sleep, you don't do nothing. And you see these fucking visions. You don't need peyote for that either. You stay awake for 4 or 5 days, you're gonna see shit. You're gonna see that shit. It ain't the drugs. I ain't kidding you. If you don't believe me, try. I believe there's another dimension here. You know, we don't see it unless you stay awake for a long time. And you will see it. I believe you. If you don't believe me, do that, you will see it. And your question will be answered.
Ironic he's talking so much about staying awake when he fell asleep. I wanted to keep the conversation friendly before I asked anything too hard-hitting, so I let him ramble on about being high on meth.
You see things, people, demons, angels, bad and good. I used to have a collection of pictures, which I burned because it's scary. Here's an example. My niece took a picture of me. We was having some beers on St. Patrick's Day. She took a picture of me. I was riding with her. and I had a black vest on, and right here on the arm was a big fucking black devil with big fucking teeth. It was a monster, more of a devil, because it was black. And then on this shoulder was a little tiny clown sitting, kind of looking out the window. This is on a fucking film. You can film that shit.
Why didn't you keep it?
It's because back then it was scary shit. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. And here's this little fucking clown sitting there looking out the fucking window. It was fucked up. I fucking burned that shit, man. I get scared back then. I ain't gonna hang on to it. It's like evil or something, you know? But then I sober up and I think back about all that shit. That's what I think. I hope I ain't leading you to disbelieving my fucking ass, because everything I'm telling you is true. She came to me in my dream, Ashley, and told me to turn it over. That's the only way I can help. Right? When I wanted to help so much, but I couldn't, you know? And she came to me in a dream and just said that the only way I can help is turn it over to Jesus, through Jesus. And that was 2.5 years ago. I just remember waking up. That was what I had to do. It was in my heart. And I didn't even go to work. I prayed and cried all day. And it was like, yeah, truth will come through Jesus. I believe it. It's the only positive thing I have, you know? Turn everything over to Jesus. And I try not to worry about it, you know? But I pray every day for her. Every day.
So did you have anything to do with her disappearance?
No, I fell asleep. That's the only wrong thing I did. And I'll probably never forgive myself.
Do you feel kind of bad about that?
Yeah, what do you think? You know? Yeah, I feel bad. I don't know what happened to her. You know? And I feel bad for Kimberly and her grandma.
So you're certain the last time you saw her was the 11th?
I'm certain, yeah.
So anyone who saw her after that is...
I've never seen her after that. Since I fell asleep, I have never seen her after that. I haven't. I've never seen her after that. I don't know. I don't know what happened to her after I fell asleep. I can't say that. I wish I could say, oh yeah, I seen her get in with these people. But I fell asleep, why would I? I can't lie, not even for that, you know? That would be a God-given thing if I would have seen who she got in with, you know? I prayed to Jesus for her family to have comfort, you know, so I can have comfort too. I need it too. Nobody knows my pain, you know.
That girl
put a place in my heart. There's just so many people believe shit. I told you guys the truth. That's it. I got nothing to do with her. I have nothing to do with none of that. Fuck, man. All I did was party. And I made a call of concern. You know, on her behalf, because it was fucked up seeing a poster, you know?
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Apparently, in the coming days after Ashley vanished in his presence, missing posters for Ashley were starting to circulate. So he called Blackfeet law enforcement to tell them what he knew.
And I say, I was with her, you know, 6 days. 6 days I was with Ashley. You know, we talked a lot, you know.
About what?
Life. And I think she's up there happy. She's happy, I think. I hope. Because, I don't know. Yeah. This is fucking fucked up telling you guys this shit, you know? Gotta know, though. You know, I ain't scared to. I'm scared to let it out, but fuck it, you know? I'm alone in this, I think.
The more I know, the better. For everyone's sake,
well,
to
good.
Be honest.
I hope you guys believe me, because I got heart and soul into what I just told. There's nothing I could do. I'm waiting. Truth will come through Jesus, you know? I don't know what else to do. There ain't nothing I can do.
In this moment, there are tears running down Sam's face. He's legitimately emotional about this. But the question is, where is that emotion coming from?
I wish I knew. I wish I could fucking know what happened.
But what about V-Dog? One, what kind of name is that? Two, is he a real person? According to Sam, he is.
We figured V-Dog was that Paul.
Do you know Paul or no?
No. I have never seen him or anything. But I know of him and what he does. You know, I hear things.
Sam says that V-Dog is likely a man named Paul Valenzuela. He knows of him, but they're not close.
One night, I come home at 2:30 in the morning. It was right after the poster. Here's Paul's pickup at the end of this road down here, sitting here. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I come home, I was drinking in town at the casino. And by the time I whipped around, I had that red Monte Carlo right there. Mm-hmm. By the time I whipped around, they were fucking going. And I called the BIA that exact moment. I had a number.
So if V-Dog is Paul, then he's definitely someone I need to talk to. If Ashley was picked up by Paul that morning, then this literally changes everything. After my meeting with Sam, we exchanged numbers, and he agreed to keep talking to me throughout my investigation. It was time to decompress and go back to the drawing board. There's a lot of names now, and way too many suspicious characters. I caught up with Vernon again, the guy who threw the party Ashley went to on June 5th, before she ended up at Sam's. But what he had to tell me was pretty alarming.
My cousin come up missing. He's missing right now. Leo Wagner.
A search is underway on the Blackfeet Reservation for 26-year-old Leo Wagner. According to his family, Leo was last seen on Tuesday, April 27th, in the Bab St. Mary area.
Since I've been investigating Ashley's disappearance, another person has vanished from the Blackfeet Reservation. Vernon's cousin, Leo Wagner.
Me and Leo, we were first cousins, and, you know, I took care of Leo and stuff, and
He was here every day, you know. He was almost like a person like Ashley, you know. You never seen him, like, mad or nothing. They always had a smile on their face. And, you know, they were always happy, you know, just always checking in on everybody and stuff like that. And Leo and Ashley, they're almost like the same, because they never had a bad day. You know, they always had smiles on their face. Leo, you know, he's my first cousin and everything, and, you know, he was here every day. hard worker, you know, just a well-rounded guy. And, you know, he had kids and a wife, and all of a sudden he'd just come up missing. Heartbreaking.
Wagner, he was last seen on the banks of the lake. They've actually had to close off parts of St. Mary's to look for him. They do hope that this search brings closure, at least for Leo's family.
Just like Ashley's case, rumors immediately began surfacing, and none of it sounded good.
There's a stories. Supposedly he got murdered. I got a recording, though. There's a couple of people talking about it. Supposedly what happened. It's a video, though, but, you know, they're secretly recording it. It talks about how, like, my cousin fought these two guys for, like, 25 minutes or something. Supposedly that he beat them both up, you know, because they were trying to pile him. And then, you know, I guess he was trying to catch his breath or something. And this other guy named Robert, I guess, supposedly shot him. I got it on my phone. I could send it on Facebook. I don't know if it's true or not, you know, but I don't know. You just have to listen to it for yourself.
Vernon sent me a cell phone recording of two unknown people talking about what sounds like Leo's murder. It's actually pretty damning.
And tell us, and he don't even know he told us the whole fucking story. How'd you go about it? I know I could find a body. Says that guy told Uncle Steve, fuck, I could fry up the jugular horseback and bring you right to that body. He told me where he took the body. I bet you go get Rob. I bet you go get Rob's and put him on a fucking horse and tell him to lead the fucking way. I bet you Rob's would bring me right to the body.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even know. He's so fucking all fucked up. And he wouldn't even know. Like, he'd be like, oh, yeah, up here. You know, he's playing dumb. He'd be like, oh, it's right here. You know, he'd just play dumb because he's so stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just got to get him horseback and bring him up kind of close there. And he wouldn't even know that. He told me where it's at. He'd just fucking, he'd right up there. Oh, he's right. Oh, fucking, he'd lead the way. You know, I'd just tell him or something. Fuck, I bet you he'd ride us right up on that fucker and not even know that who he told about it. That's how dumb he is.
He told us right where he did with it.
They pulled him in a sled for like 2.5 miles, left the sled, everything. They fucking hard as they could back to the truck or whatever and jet in the middle of the night. But Rob's is so like, dumb. He put him on a horse and kind of took him in that country. Mm-hmm. I bet you he'd ride right up on her like, fuck, well, we found him, fucking, you know, like he's stupid, you know?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And you think that, like, fucking,
I maybe tell him what he let him see.
But he'd frame himself or whatever, and I don't want to do that, dude. I don't know, but fuck, if you kill somebody, like, fuck you. You gotta own up to your shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, he told me he killed him. He shot him right in the fucking head. Like, he was just gasping for air. He already beat up Doug and Jeff. Fought for 25 minutes or whatever. He's just catching air. Just leave me alone. For, you know, just leave me alone air or whatever. And Rob's thing gave him a chance. Shot him in the fucking head. So he pulled the gun on him first, and Rob's just shot him or whatever. So, he pulled the gun on me first or whatever. Like, fuck, he told us the whole story. We didn't ask a question about it. And we didn't even know what's going on yet.
Yeah.
He fucking told himself before we're like, shut up, Dean, what the fuck are you talking about? This is before we know Leo is gone.
There's a serious problem in Browning, Montana, and all of Indian Country. Too many missing people, and no one giving a shit about it. As of today, both Ashley Loring and Leo Wagner are still missing.
If you hear anything new on Leo's case, let me know too, because I'm kind of like looking into all of them at the same time now.
Yeah, they're kind of thinking that Ashley and Leo, they're both kind of intertwined somehow from the same person.
Next week, we're going to take a short break from the investigation to focus on MMIW and all the complexities associated with this widespread issue. To understand what happened to Ashley or Leo, it's imperative to understand why this problem continues to happen. Thanks, guys, and see you next week.
Up and Vanished is a production of Tenderfoot TV, created, hosted, and edited by Payne Lindsay. Executive producers are Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Our theme song is Ophelia by Ezra Rose. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Cooper Skinner. Additional production by Cooper Skinner, Eric Quintana, and myself, Mike Rooney. Our cover art is by Trevor Eiler. Special thanks to Grace Royer and Oren Rosenbaum at UTA, Ryan Nord, Jesse Nord, and Matthew Papa at The Nord Group, Station 16, Beck Media and Marketing, as well as Chris Cochran and the team at Cadence 13. Visit us on social media at Up and Vanished, or you can visit us at upandvanished.com, where you can join in on our discussion board. If you're enjoying Up and Vanished, tell a friend, family member, or coworker about it, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.